Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Good morning, Jefferson. Good morning, Terry.
Morning, Wynn. How you doing, buddy?
So far, so good. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
We're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Ready? I think.
Ready? Yep. Yeah. Bushy-tailed at least today.
I think.
Good morning, Jefferson. Thanks for joining us.
Broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading.
Reading.
1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better. We are streaming live, podcasted, and archived all over the world.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things going on in the world, isn't there, Ashley?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I am rather concerned about a lot of the rioting in Southern California right now. I have a fair amount of family there, and my grandmother has lived in the same house for 50 years. My mom grew up there. She's attended the same church, and that church is now burned down.
Wow.
The mall to the north has been burned, north of where she lives. Two of the banks she attends, they're razed. Wow. The whole place. And it's a retirement community. It's super quiet.
Wow. Whereabouts is this?
La Mesa.
Oh.
So this is Mount Helix. She's just at the base of Mount Helix in La Mesa.
Wow.
It's terrifying to me. My grandma's like, well, the church is burned down, so they need me now more than ever, so she's staying.
Oh, man. God bless her. Yeah, no kidding. You know, it's just gotten to a point where I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, you know, the Constitution says peacefully assemble, the word peacefully, and, you know, I won't forget seeing the picture of an elderly black gentleman with tears in his eyes. He can't get his medicine that he needs anymore because his pharmacy got burned down. And, oh, by the way, it was a black owner. And I'm sure this pharmacist has been a wonderful person of the community. Why are people burning down their own pharmacies? Churches?
But are they their own?
Well, 70% they're saying that are being arrested are from other areas because they're being paid to be sent in by the deep state.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let's get real, folks.
Yeah.
If you don't think that we have got a situation in our country to where we are on the edge, and Chris Ann Hall, I think, put it best this morning in a statement when she talked about pastors who won't open their church. Now, this is Chris Ann Hall. She wrote that pastors who don't open are committing idolatry. And they are because they're taking man's word above God's. And to me, I just get beside myself when I think about the fact that just like, you know, Ashley's grandmother, I mean, here's a little old lady that says, you know what, my church needs me now more than ever because I'm going to serve God now more than ever. And these lily-livered pastors.
Pastors.
almost got the button on that one. Sorry about that. But I know pastors. I got it out right, you know. won't open their churches because they're cowards. And as Chris Ann said, they're not going to do it because of, either a 501c3 or, you know, since when do you follow man's laws when they're above God's? I mean, the Supreme Court, of course, that court case isn't done yet. Now, that was just a portion of it from what Chris Ann wrote.
Keep in mind, she's married to a pastor.
Yeah, yeah. and the court case that where Roberts was the deciding vote on the opinion of the Supreme Court that California does have the jurisdiction and authority to shut down churches, or at least not maybe shut them down, but to keep their attendance at a level that they believe is going to be safe.
Keep in mind where he came from.
Bush.
California.
And Bush. But anyway, you know, when you stop and you think about this, you know, I mean, how wrong is that? Now, I know that's just one portion, and Chris Ann goes on. It's very interesting. Go to her website, Chris Ann Hall. And you'll be able to see the case. She explains that very well about this is just a portion of it. But the idea of that, I mean, where do we draw the line with this government? Where do we draw the line with the court systems? I mean, the court systems are just insanely corrupt at this point. I'll just say it. You know,
they are.
And,
absolutely.
And I just, you know, to me, and again, those were Chris Ann's words on the pastors. I happen to concur. I'm sure Wynn concurs. I'm sure Ashley concurs. I think most people concur. You know, when you need the church leaders the most, you don't get them. Now, there's a gentleman named David Bryant, who's a pastor down at Glad Tidings Church down in Sutter County, yes?
Yep, Sutter County.
Sutter County. Embassy campus?
Yes.
And it's off of Eager Road, which I always like to tease him about because people are eager to go to his church.
Yep.
But anyway, he wrote a letter. My wife asked him to write a letter to pastors, and David has a very, very excellent reputation. We'll be getting that out on Facebook. It's called A Dead Fly in the Soup of Liberty. I'm not going to read it. It's 6 pages, but it's a read that's worth it. You know, and this is an open letter by Pastor Dave Bryant, Church of Glad Tidings, Yuba City, Northern California, and it's just absolutely remarkable, the courage this man has, as does Pastor Thompson, who was with the Freedom Angels, who was arrested by the state police. I don't know if all highway patrol, I'm not going to lump them all into one sum, that's for sure, but you know, by saying it's my job to drag 90-pound women upstairs in their dresses and their sundresses away from their kids, arrest 32 of them, and then try to figure out what you're going to arrest them for. One of the charges, I believe, was somebody had their dog illegally in the park, that they didn't even have a dog.
Yeah, that was the code they used.
That was the code they used. And so, you know, you stop and think about that. I mean, I don't lump them all into one packet with the whole highway patrol. That's for sure. That's definitely for sure. But those men, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. Shame on you. Shame on you. Your following orders, shame on you. You're supposed to stand between tyranny and the people, not with tyranny against the people. And that's what you've done. And by doing that, you showed it. To me, those people down there, they're following orders? Nah, they're not following orders. Now, here's the thing I will give them. When we were down there on May 23rd, if they're standing on the lawn, they had their little masks on. I did ask one of them, why are you wearing a mask today? And you didn't wear one on May 1st. Does the governor think that the threat is worse now? And he didn't want to answer the question, of course.
Keep in mind, too, that they were 100 feet away from any of the public on the last event. But prior to that, they were amongst the public.
Yes, sir. They were amongst them.
Without a mask, and they're right there with them, and they're arresting people and blocking them. But then when we went back down, two Saturdays ago, whatever it was.
23rd.
Well, mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, it's only been a week.
Yep.
So went down there last week, and they were wearing full-on masks and garb and gear and had the fence, you know, right up the city sidewalk, and they were a minimum 100 feet away from any of the public. So what changed? And that was the question you asked. That was like, what changed? You know, that makes you wonder.
Yeah, then you walk amongst the Sacramento Police Department, who's out on the street, and there was one young police officer who was on the back of his motorcycle, and he had his helmet off, kind of laying back on it. And I asked him, well, how come other people weren't a mask? You aren't wearing a mask. Your partner over here has his mask pulled down. He just basically said, you know, it's a matter of choice, and I don't choose to wear one. I mean, you know, that's the kind of police officer I like that, you know, understands something to be baloney and isn't going to follow it. You notice I said baloney,
yep.
Ashley? Quit hovering. I did not say
the other stuff.
Cow excrement. So, you know, the male cow excrement. but anyway, you know, when we look at what's going on down there, those guys were about 100 feet back. Well, here's the deal. Now, maybe they were doing – at that point, they are kind of doing their jobs. They're standing on the lawn. If somebody walks on the lawn toward them and they do anything, then they're not doing their job anymore.
Right.
And to me, I just – you know, in fact, I asked Denise, which was one of the angels that had been bruised by the highway patrol who, when they were dragging her off. I mean, she must weigh a whopping, what, 110 pounds?
If that.
And I said, how are your bruises doing, Denise? And she said, well, they're healing up. You know, I mean, really and truly, come on. You know, this whole thing, there's a lot of room for things to be improved. And I think the thing is looking for the answers now. I think we need to revamp the way that police departments are. I think we need to revamp their training. I think we need to revamp the authority in which they're under, and I think we need to revamp all the counties, at least in Jefferson, to where the sheriff really has authority over, the elected sheriff has authority over the police chief, and the police chief, if need be, needs to be elected. That's what I think. So he's beholden to the constituents. Anyway, we're going to have to go off to a break.
Yep.
And we've got Mark Baird, who's going to be on the line with us here right after the break. Mark, brother, hold on. He has some breaking news, and we're going to just turn it over to him. And you're all going to be blessed by what he has to say, because it's going to be said with inspiration and great alacrity. With that, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Politicians in the big old cities running everything. Oh, well, I may be simple and it's not for everyone. It's a state of mind, it's a state of change, it's a state of Jefferson. Sing it with me one time now. State of Jefferson. State number 51.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality Sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides, your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. Don't miss our Memorial Day sale. Save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition smart bed, now only $17.99, ends Sunday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down.
Stephen Stills. You know, I saw the original video of that, and it's... when you see how he's dressed, because you hear that song and it sounds like a, you know, 60s rebellion song, which is what it is, basically. But anyway, he's wearing a cowboy hat and a three-piece suit with cowboy boots, and he's kind of doing a little shuffle as he sings, which was a little bit different than a couple of years later, you know, with the long hair and the, you know, the buckskin jacket on, and, you know, with a... probably under the influence of maybe one too many soda pops.
So in the beginning, he was dressed to impress, and then after that, guess, he
but
was
it's,
not.
It's a little comical to hear the words and then see that. Anyway, I digress. Mark Baird, Kemosabe, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
So far, so good.
We'd like you to catch us up on where we are now in Jefferson, what happened with the CFR, and go get him, Kemosabe.
Well, first, I'd like to address what's going on right now in this nation and in California as well. Not so much up in Jefferson, but certainly in the Bay Area and in Los Angeles and in Portland and Seattle. And I want to also make a comment about the policing agencies, you know, usually generally across the nation. I don't think there's anything wrong with police training. I think that the thing that is wrong is with the government that is over the police and the chain of command that affects those officers and how they're, in essence, asked to do their jobs. And once again, there's literally nothing new under the sun. That statement is thousands of years old. What has been done will be done. What was will be. And there's nothing new under the sun. So human beings, human nature never changes. But I'd like to also quote Hosea 8:7 that says, "For they that sow the wind shall reap the whirlwind." And that's in essence what the left has done. They have sown the wind. And now we all are forced to reap the whirlwind. I think it was yesterday or this morning, I'm not sure which, in Seattle, some Antifa protesters in support of the guy who was murdered by that Minneapolis police officer looted a cheesecake store. And I was watching the video of it. And they were very carefully carrying out the cheesecakes because obviously if they drop the cheesecake, it's not edible anymore. And so they broke the windows of the store. They went inside. They stole all the cheesecakes and pretty much probably anything else that wasn't nailed down, cash or whatever they wanted. And then they took that stuff home. I have to be curious in my mind whether that was just crime or whether that was a legitimate form of protest. And then the answer is obvious. For example, Ashley's grandmother's church.
Yep.
What possible gain was made from burning down a house of God? Did it help anyone? Did it change the dynamic? Did it change the conversation? Did it shed a light on the fact that police officers are human beings as capable of committing crime as anyone else is? And police officers commit crimes all the time. They're human beings, and they have a flawed spirit, just like Jesus said. And they go out and they do what they want instead of what they should do. And when they're caught, they're prosecuted for those crimes, like this guy will be. And, you know, I don't know what went through his mind. I was a peace officer, so I know the process, and I know the methods of arrest. And I know that once you have a suspect, and quite frankly, I got to tell you, to have a knee on someone's neck is accepted procedure until you gain compliance and you have the handcuffs on. Now, once the handcuffs are on, obviously, there's no further reason to have a knee on someone else's neck. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether that was legitimate or not. I suspect it wasn't, as obviously does everyone else in the country. But I wasn't there, so I can't make a comment on why the guy did what he did. Apparently, he worked with the suspect at some bar or something earlier. Maybe there was a personal deal going on between them. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, prima facie, it seemed wrong. The country is taking it that way. So, in essence, this guy is not going to be innocent until proven guilty. He's going to be guilty until proven innocent. Now, he may well turn out to be guilty, but that's not how this nation is supposed to work. And so for people to burn down their own communities and mm-hmm. burn down their own businesses mm-hmm. and to burn down their own houses of worship and mm-hmm. to devastate their communities for maybe years to come so that they'll have to leave town to get a prescription filled or buy a head of lettuce or gasoline or whatever else you want. And quite frankly, the core of these protests are criminal activities. You see groups of young men looting the Target, and they're all laughing and joking and carrying big screen TVs out the front door. That doesn't seem to me like petitioning for redress of grievance. Call me crazy. But I think when you're laughing and joking about beating somebody up in the street and then going in and stealing some TVs and running out the door as fast as you can and going home, you just don't seem like the kind of person that's trying to accomplish anything good with your voice or your protest or your quote, peaceful assembly. So that's what I have to say about that. But essentially, we are getting exactly what we paid for in this. I mean, we have been condescending towards people in the sense that we don't treat adults like adults. We treat adults like children. The government treats us all like children who don't even know our own will. We're placed in positions where we're told not to do this and not to do that, and the government issues these dictates. Well, you're allowed to go to the donut shop, and only one of you can go in at a time, and there has to be 20 minutes in between, and, you know, and there's a litany of regulations, and that's what government does. They make things up to suit themselves in their own power base, to gain money, to gain power, to gain control over your liberty, over your lives, over your property. They have absolutely succeeded in that. And then the natural outpouring of this is those officials and some police officers, and some will never do that, but some do, take advantage of that power and control, and a guy is dead. Rightly or wrongly, we don't know. There's been no investigation yet, but a guy is dead. And then people who have been basically chained to the table for so long, they're chafing at the chain, and then you put the criminal element in that, and oh, gee, what do you know? There's an explosion, and people have broken their chains, and they're out burning and going crazy because they have nothing better to do, and they don't have any idea how to accomplish what they want to without doing that. And then there is also that element that wants to see the chaos so that they can overthrow the Constitutional Republic of the United States. The Hollywood degenerates are behind that. I think it was John Cusack said yesterday was that he hopes the riots, the burning, and the looting continue until Donald Trump has to leave the White House. Well, all righty. I mean, there's a guy I want to take advice from, and there's a guy I'd like to, you know, I don't ever spend money on those degenerates. I won't buy their products. I don't go to movies. I don't watch their shows. I don't have Netflix or any of that other stuff, because I don't want to fund the lifestyle for a communist degenerate who makes statements like that. And that's what we're doing when we purchase those products. So in essence, we're funding our own demise, as we always do, because it's convenient and it makes our lives easier. And, oh, we don't want to stand up. As, you know, gosh, in order to go accomplish something, I might have to take a day off of work or inconvenience myself or, you know, do something extra. And I think that in the end, we've gotten exactly what we paid for and exactly what we deserve. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for the nation at large for what's happening, because we've created the very situation that waters this type of activity. I think that we can do better, and we had a way to do better. We have a way to do better. You know, we need more adequate representation, because we have no voice in government that's effective or that listens to its constituents and makes even the most thinly veiled attempt to address the concerns of the constituents. And when Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense, he addressed that very subject before we were even a nation. And by the way, people don't even know where we came from. They don't know how this country was formed. They don't know why it was formed. They don't know what its principles are. Because the government itself, through its education system, which should have never been placed under government control,
ever,
have educated people in a way that disguises our history or lies about it. And people have some distorted view of why this nation was formed to begin with and what its founding principles are. So I'm not surprised in the least that this is happening. I'm surprised that it's actually as benign as it is so far. That could change. So the state of Jefferson, we attempt to address that with our court case, CFR v. Padilla, where we're directly demanding more representation. We use legitimate means. We address the legislature. We were absolutely and completely ignored by them, because with 1 million people per Senate district and 500,000 people per Assembly district, but they don't care what you think, and they don't have to, and you can't make them, because you don't have enough pull as an individual, or even a small group of individuals, or even a medium-sized group of individuals, to get the attention of your legislator. He's more interested with people in people that have big checkbooks.
Yeah, and I think I think one of the things we've done is we've sort of put them in that position, as you said, and rightly so, in having a constituency for every senator, 1 million people, and every assemblyman, 500,000. It certainly is a way to have corruption, greed, and power seep into these men. They're only human.
Well,
but we're gonna have to go off to a break, Mark.
Okay, sure.
And so we're going to go off for a break, and when we come back, we have the final version of the press release, which I've been told this morning, it's been released, mm-hmm. and it was released last night, 5/30/2020, and I'd like you to talk about the CFR versus Padilla and how it was rejected by the Ninth Circuit in federal court, and we'd like you to bring us up to speed on that. Where we go from here, because time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Preach a man will tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Is it all that Peter told? After story has never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your eyes.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. Don't be left watching Netflix reruns this summer. Use your screen time to future-proof your career with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. One of the best investments you can make is your education. So take the first step today. Summer classes start June 8th and enrollment is happening now. High school students, summer is the perfect time to pick up some college credits. With no tuition costs and enrollment is now completely online. Call 242-7500 or go online to shastacollege.edu/apply.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Way to go, Sally. Good music, honey. Nick, I know you're on the chat room to answer your question. Sally, if you could send out a dead fly in the soup of liberty, the letter that that Dave Bryant, Pastor Dave Bryant, wrote, if you want to maybe post that on Facebook or post it somewhere, I'm sure he's posted it already. It is remarkable, and you'll, I know, Nick, you'll. It's a really good read. Anyway, Mark Baird, sir. CFR versus Padilla, rejected by the Ninth Circuit Federal Court. Your thought process, and you know, one thing great about this show, Kemosabe's. You can be as frank as you want to be. She's got a button.
Well, if you like, I can just read the press release. That kind of pretty much says it all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That'd be great.
The press release from State of Jefferson Citizens for Fair Representation. Of the plaintiffs and citizens for fair representation and the people of the Jefferson Declaration Committee, the 23 counties of Northern California are disappointed but not surprised by the unpublished opinion by the Ninth Circuit Court that dismissed our lawsuit in which we had requested an increase in representation in the California legislature. Based upon judicial misconduct within the court, judicial collusion with the defendants, illicit and secret conversations with judges who had not been briefed on the case by the trial judge, it was obvious that the fix was in from the beginning. We knew from the moment that Federal Circuit Judge Kimberly Mueller did the unprecedented action of reversing her own order to constitute a three-judge panel required in voter dilution and lack of representation cases that this Democrat activist judge intended to deny justice to all the people of California. By Mueller's own admission, she had, I've lost my place here, hang on a second. By Mueller's own admission, she had a private backroom conversation with the chief magistrate of the Ninth Circuit. These conversations led her to violate United States Code Title 28, Section 2284, as it applies to the automatic appointment of three-judge panels in voter dilution cases. But Judge Mueller was not finished. Mueller waited until the last moment possible to cancel hearings with the full knowledge that hundreds of people had made plane and hotel reservations or had driven hundreds of miles to attend a hearing. She denied the use of a large and available courtroom with full knowledge that hundreds of people were attending a hearing from all over the state in order to see justice done. This action on the part of the judge forced most of the attendees to stand in the hallway for hours after having been denied entrance to the courtroom. Our legal plan was to proceed from the trial court directly to the United States Supreme Court, bypassing the certiorari process. It is the right of the people to do so, as outlined in United States Code Title 8, Section 2284, when the case involves lack of representation or voter dilution. The vote of the people is far too important to entrust to a single judge. Over $500,000 was collected in small donations and spent in order to fight for representation, only to have the Ninth Circuit, District, and Appeals Courts spit in the face of liberty and deny justice to the people. The courts explained and excused their decision on their premise that since all of the people of California are equally tyrannized by the injustice of lack of representation and voter dilution, there is nothing the court will do about it. We, the people of Jefferson, have nothing but contempt for the judicial branch of the government, which is supposed to find justice for those who are defenseless in the face of tyranny. But instead, for purely political reasons, these corrupt courts and corrupt judges are complicit in the crime of denying justice. The Ninth Circuit, the most corrupt court in the nation, used the unpublished decision as a mechanism to ensure that any petition we made to the Supreme Court would go unheard. CFR and the State of Jefferson Patriots will continue moving forward with our legal and educational efforts, and we intend to separate this state, and we're not going to stop until we achieve success. You know, here's our problem with these courts. Courts deny liberty to people all the time. They do it every day. They do it in three ways. They say, well, you as an individual don't have any specific harm, and if the harm is general to everyone, then there's nothing the court's going to do for you, which is when you think about that, what a horrendous thing. I mean, the people of China are brutalized as a population every single day by their dictator. And if they had a court, the court would say, well, you know, anybody in China could be murdered every day on the street by the government. So, man, you know, I don't know. There's nothing we're going to do about it for you.
Hey, Mark.
We
have some questions about the press release. Can you explain?
Yeah, let me go over two other points of we were denied the justice, and then I'll answer questions.
Sure.
The second point the court says is, well, this is a political question, and courts don't answer political questions. And I have to say, I find that statement so laughable it's ridiculous, because the courts, with Baker versus Carr, Gray versus Sanders, and Reynolds versus Sims, put us in this position to start with, and it must have been a political question then, or they wouldn't be saying it's a political question now. So literally the federal courts, by giving themselves the power to intervene in state elections, made this mess to begin with. And now the federal court is saying, well, in order to unmake that mess, we'd have to answer a political question, and we're not going to do it. And the third way is they say, well, it's not justiciable. Yes, you're right about it. And in fact, the state and the court don't argue we're right about everything we said in our complaint. They don't even argue the fact of the matter. They agree that we're absolutely right. We don't have any representation. The districts are way too big. But what they say at the end of the day is that, well, we couldn't figure out a way to fix it, and so we're not going to try to fix it at all. And my problem with that is, once again, the courts made this mess to begin with, and they certainly figured out a way to make the mess. And I have a simple way we always have had, and it was clearly stated in our complaint. California is 390% worse in representative ratios than any state in the nation. We're 390% worse than state number 49. So I know, take the median, go to the middle, take the national average of number of people per representative, or go with George Washington, who said one for 30,000 is democracy and one for 40,000 is tyranny, or go to the model that the state of California had when the founders envisioned what our republic should look like, and that's one state senator for every 6,000 people and one state assemblyman for every 2,500. There are three ways that are in print that they could have fixed this. And they're well known. So in the end, the court denied us justice because the Democrat Party in California has things exactly the way they want it. The Democrat Party controls the judicial branch of not only in California's courts, but also of the federal courts, thanks to appointments by Democrat socialists. And the people are the object of tyranny. We are. So to me, the Constitution of the state of California is null and void because the government has violated it and the government has committed felonies in its own name. Therefore, the Constitution is void and the people are free to seek self-help. And now I'd be happy to answer questions.
Okay. First of all, you talked about the unpublished statement or opinion, excuse me, unpublished. Now explain that how that is even more egregious.
Well, it's a mechanism is what it is, because in our original legal plan, and this is the way why we did it this way, because we're basically people who have no money, and without millions and millions of dollars, you can't hope to achieve justice in federal court. So we created a plan where we had a method that was lawful under Title VIII, that once we had finished with the circuit court, the trial court, Judge Mueller's court, and she should have appointed a three-judge panel, which she did. Then, after that, any result from that decision. Now, we never expected to find justice with Mueller. We expected to lose the case. However, the Supreme Court would have been forced to listen to our case. We would not have had to ask their permission. We knew that if we went to the Ninth Circuit Court, we would lose, and the odds of the Supreme Court accepting our case are about 104,000 applications every year. We would not only be buried by the dearth of other cases, but they probably would not take up our case because they never even hear about it to begin with. The clerks decide what cases make it to the judges, and all the clerks are from liberal law schools. There's no way our case would have gotten to the Supreme Court had we gone through the cert process. Well, there's a mechanism that courts use all the time to make sure you don't get to the Supreme Court, the unpublished decision. In order to gain cert at the Supreme Court, you need some kind of court material. You need some trial record. You need some opinion that's printed so that the clerks and the judges can look at that printed record and say, well, look, this wasn't okay and that wasn't okay, or whatever criteria they choose to use. But in an unpublished decision, no such record exists. So we're not only asking the Supreme Court to adjudicate a case that is, the odds are very long that they would even choose our case to adjudicate to begin with so many applications, but we're asking them to take our case with no record. There's no trial record. because the decision is unpublished. Essentially, it's a phone call to the attorneys and a one-page thing saying, no, you're out.
Now, there's two things. We're going to go to a break, but I have two questions here I want you to ponder while we take the break. One is, you know, you made the point that she had asked for a three-judge court, and then she changed her mind. And I remember Gary Zerman, one of our attorneys in court, telling her, gosh, you know, you wanted a you asked for a three-judge court, and then you changed your mind. And she said that's right, because she had gotten advice. And then Gary said, we can't find anywhere in the record, that means like in history, folks, the history of judgedoms, that there was no one who had ever asked for a three-judge court and reversed it. And I'd like you to expand on that after the break, and also talk about these backroom conversations that happen. To me, I guess the most blatant thing was her admitting this on the record and thinking, I can do whatever I want. Anyway, with that, folks, we're going to go off to a break. Kemosabe, stay with us. And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Somewhere down the road when somebody plays
at the end of the line,
purple haze.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Should be. We got to get out of this state.
State of chaos.
State of chaos.
State of chaos.
Kemosabe. So the questions. First of all, the backroom conversations that, as Judge Kaczynski said, was highly irregular.
Yeah.
And also the fact that these judges, this judge Mueller, just did this in front of God and everybody, and there's just no consequences. What about Article 3 of the Constitution of the United States? I mean, they're supposed to only be serving as judges
with good behavior.
Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Well, Article 3 is interesting because it doesn't really say anything. It says good behavior, which has been morphed by society into life. They serve for life as long as they want to, even after they retire. they can continue to serve and get paid. The only difference is they don't serve at the pleasure of the people. They serve at the pleasure of the chief magistrate, who gives them 1 year renewals on their senior judge status. And as long as they create opinions that the chief magistrate likes, then they get to keep making lots and lots of money. So, you know, this, the Constitution, the result of the Constitution has no direct relationship on the Constitution itself anymore. It's something else. But she admitted in open court that she had had conversations with the chief magistrate of the Ninth Circuit Court, the very court that rejected the case. Now, after that conversation, she rescinded her order for the three-judge panel.
Wow.
Now, look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together, so I can imagine how this conversation went. Well, I ordered a three-judge court in that CFR v. Padilla case. That's the one where they want to have 5 or 10 times more representatives than the California legislature, and the chief magistrate says, no, God, well, you can't do that, you can't do that. Rescind that order. And she's afraid of the chief magistrate because she works for him in a sense. So, and she's also a Democratic operative, and so is he. So she does what her party tells her to, which is rescind the order. And then the chief magistrate says, you know, don't worry about this. Send the case up to us. We'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And then they dismiss it with prejudice, with an unpublished decision, so that we can't get to the Supreme Court. And the whole goal of asking for the voter dilution, lack of representation method in our legal plan was to get to the Supreme Court without having to ask the court's permission to hear our case, because we knew if we had to go through the Ninth Circuit, we would never get to the Supreme Court. So the entire reason we structured the case the way we did was in order to gain the three-judge panel at the trial level in federal court, because then the United States Supreme Court would be forced to hear our grievances. And we knew that the merits of the case would never see the light of day until we got to the Supreme Court. But the Democrat Party and their Democrat courts found a way to outmaneuver us. And I got to tell you, they beat us at the game. They outmaneuvered us. They used corruption in the courts. They had illicit conversations with both the state and the courts. Because if you had sat there and watched that judge spoon-feeding the state's attorney, it almost made me want to vomit. But we found out that we're not preserving liberty. It's already gone. That's a hard lesson for anybody in this nation.
I think
you
that
don't
that's,
have liberty.
Yeah,
the
I think
liberty
that's,
is gone.
I think that's
it's
a good point.
Gone.
Yeah, and I think you're right. That's one thing that you've been saying for a while, and I think people need to understand that. People say, gee whiz, you know, we've got to hold on to our liberty. As you said, there is no liberty
anymore.
You
have to get it back.
Yeah, you have to get it back. And I'd like you to expound on that for a couple of minutes.
Well, we don't have liberty anymore. It's gone. You don't have a Second Amendment. You're banned by legislative fiat from carrying a weapon. You have to ask someone if you can carry a weapon concealed, and that person in most of California can say no, and they do say no. In some counties, they never say yes. They've given the sheriff authority over all of your Second Amendment rights, and those are rights. Remember, where do your rights come from? They don't come from the Constitution, because the Bill of Rights codified rights you already had before the Constitution was written. The rights codified in the Bill of Rights are pre-constitutional. According to William Blackstone, they are pre-governmental. According to William Blackstone and his commentaries on the law, and John Locke and his commentaries on the law, your inalienable rights come from the Lord God Almighty, placed in your heart at the moment of your conception, the moment of your creation. Those are rights that belong to you as a free-thinking human being. And you don't have those rights anymore. And if you thought you did, take a look at the world around you. Are you free to open your business anytime you want? Are you free to sell things to people anytime they want them? Are people free to just get in their car and go where they want?
How about going to church?
as long as you're going to Walmart, you are, I guess. We might be in a very controlled stage 3 opening now. So the government has told us we're going to be allowed by government to do a few more things than we were allowed to do. So you don't have a First Amendment. You don't have a Second Amendment. The Third Amendment doesn't apply unless really it's time of war. The Fourth Amendment is under assault every single day. I mean, man, the Fourth Amendment is weak. You don't have a Fifth Amendment anymore. You don't have a Sixth, Seventh, or Eighth. The Ninth and Tenth are, well, they're still there, but they don't apply because no one ever goes by them. So you don't have a Bill of Rights. Your liberty is gone. We have squandered it. We've squandered in one generation what millions and millions of American men and women have paid for with their blood, their treasure, and their sacred honor on battlefields all over the world, and we have squandered that liberty. It is gone. There is no preserving liberty. We're in the unenviable position of trying to regain the liberty that we once had.
You know, also I was talking to, actually, Dr. Cordy Williams, who is the guest on Sovereign Minds. He'll be on about 10:15. Interesting guy, interesting story. We were talking yesterday morning on the phone, and, you know, I brought up what you had said, you know, and I said, you know, can you name one thing that the government, either federally or in your state, doesn't control, whether it be the light bulb you use, the food you eat, the water you drink, the gas you use, the toys your kids or grandkids play with, the makeup your wife uses, et cetera. Can you name one thing? Now, I have had people say to me before, well, yeah, they can't control my faith in Jesus Christ. Well, gee whiz, we just got an opinion from the Supreme Court of the United States with Roberts, who, by the way, was a Bush appointee, who gave the deciding vote on the opinion, in that the state does have jurisdiction over over churches at this particular time. Now, I know that's loosely said, and Chris Ann Hall, if you go to chrisannhall.com and you go to Chris Ann Hall, you'll be able to see what she wrote on this. Basically, the things she did say about the pastors, Mark, were that the pastors who comply with this are idolaters, and they're not following God. She also said that these pastors were lily-livered pastors. That's Chris Ann's words, not mine. But really and truly, where are the pastors in the leading? Dave Bryant, who wrote an excellent letter to pastors. Mark, I think Sally sent that to you. If she didn't, she will. It's just, you know, he's a guy who's standing up. Pastor Thompson, who was with the Freedom Angels, who got arrested. I don't know what that was for, but he got arrested at the Capitol. Is another guy standing up. I'd like you to expand a little bit. We've got about 3 minutes left. I'd like you to expand a little bit on, you know, even our religious liberty. It's hard for me to believe. Somebody needs to pinch me. Anyway, proceed, sir.
Well, as you said, John Roberts said that the government can tell you it's okay to go to Walmart, but the government can also tell you it's not okay for you to go to church. And the way I read the First Amendment, we have the absolute right. You know, they keep saying, the courts are very, very fond of saying, oh, these rights aren't absolute. Well, yes, they are, because God is absolute, and your rights derive from God, and it's in the Declaration of Independence. But the courts don't even consider that our founding document anymore. Folks, we are in a battle. We're in a battle for our soul. It is a war between good and evil. And unless you stand, we are going to lose. So we've drafted an article of sedition. We're going to try to present that to Congress. We're going to try to demand statehood without asking California's permission, because the governor of California is a felon. The legislature in California is complicit in the felony. The California Constitution no longer applies. If the government violates the Constitution, that's a breach of contract, and the people are free to seek self-help. So I ask you to stand. Stand for something. Stand for something in the eyes of God and the eyes of man, because they that have sown the wind will reap the whirlwind. And we're seeing the whirlwind coming, and we are the people. We have all the power. We've always had all the power. All we have to do is learn how to use it to regain liberty and representative constitutional republic to the North State and to the state of Jefferson.
You know, that was well said, sir. Well said. Hear, hear. In fact, Gwen and I were clapping without really clapping, because we didn't want to make any noise while you were talking. But I think that there's something we need to do. And I don't know if you're listening to the program or not, Carl, but I hope somebody is listening that can let him know. This program probably should be played on a weekday. You know, I know that Free Fire Radio has played programs before. I think the program today is extremely important for the public to know and to hear. And I think it would be good if there could be an hour put aside sometime this week or in the very near future, because I think everything that was said today was very, very pertinent, not only locally, but to our country, our state, and frankly, Mark, I can't tell you what an honor it is to be your brother. Wynn and I know it's a real honor, sir. And this was just a great program, a great way to explain everything. And, thank you for being on.
Well, you're welcome. You guys have a good day.
You too. Thank you, Mark.
And time has come.
Bye. For 51.
Let's get it done.
Hey, Skate, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.